Hi, and welcome to another episode of New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. Welcome to the show.
About
the power of our words. And this past week we have been having conversations actually about, do I tell you something? Do I not tell you something? And for the purpose of, we interact with people all the time, and if we might have a run-in with someone or a conversation, we saw something, then if I was to tell you all about it, then I'm putting thoughts into your head about that person and causing them to think, causing you to think, oh, okay. And so my words actually were causing you to think something negative about someone else. And so we've actually been talking about how we want our words to be honorable. Mm-hmm. And the passage that keeps coming up is Psalm 19:14, which is, may the words of my heart and the meditations of my heart,
may the words of my mouth
and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you.
And that went along with the other verse that you had mentioned, Jen, how out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I think, like, when I'm talking about someone, whether it's positive or negative, that's coming from the heart. And so when someone says the heart, like I asked Jesus into my heart and I felt it in my heart, or the words come from my heart, what does that actually mean? I'm just throwing this on you.
I can.
Pastor. But what is the heart? Because I know it as an organ.
Yeah. I think our heart is part of who we are. It's like, we often think it's here, but it's like this gut thing down here we know in our heart. Like, people would say, I have a gut response. Like, my gut doesn't, well, I guess that's a terminology thing, but what is it actually? I think it's the very core of who we are. Just like a heart, a physical heart, pumps the blood out to the whole body, right? Like, comes in the atrium, out through the ventricle, lungs, back in the atrium.
Left atrium.
And out through the ventricle and through the rest of the body, right?
Yep.
So our heart is the central part of our body that pumps things. Like, if our heart isn't healthy, then the rest of our body, like, isn't going to be healthy. The thing is, we can be brain dead. Like, our brain can actually be dead. But if our heart is still pumping, then technically, we're still alive. So when I think about our spiritual heart, I think of it as the very core, the central being of who we are.
Like, and where our spiritual self and our physical self kind of meet?
Yeah, I think so. And so if we don't take care of our spiritual heart, like out of the wellspring of the heart, the mouth speaks, then, yeah, all sorts of things can be coming out of our mouth because of the things that are planted in our heart, in our very innermost being of who we are. And
okay, so then say, well, this happened. We were having a conversation and you started to share about an interaction with somebody, and then you kind of went, I'm not going to say what I was thinking of I was going to say because I don't want you to think A, B, and C about mm-hmm. that person or whatever. And so, but what if someone does share something? How do you keep that from going into your heart?
I think one of the things I often do is I will give that conversation to the Lord.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll choose to forgive that person for sharing what they did with me, especially if it sort of, I want to say, taints my understanding of who the person is that they were talking about.
Okay.
Because then what happens is when I see that person, I'm like, oh, my like, so-and-so thinks this about them or said this or da-da. And it's like, but that's one person's perspective. Mm-hmm. And the book of Proverbs says, you know, it's really easy. Truth seems to be perfect when it's coming from one person, right? Oh, I'm hearing it from Carrie, and she's, yeah, you know, a trustworthy source, so it must be true. But then as soon as you hear
a counter perspective,
yeah, then you're like, oh, well, then that's not true. And so by me, you know, speaking words out, I'm causing you to think one thing. So when you said, you know, what do you do with that? I forgive that person, and then I will ask the Lord to sift, to actually sift the conversation, help me to remember the things he wants me to remember, and the things he doesn't want me to remember, then I would just, he would help me to let them go. But then I also asked Jesus to teach me about that person, that he would teach me about that person.
What he likes about them.
Yes. And if there is truth in that, what is my response to it?
Yeah.
I will often say, okay, Lord, if that is true, how do you want me to respond to that? But if it's false, then, well, also, how do you want me to respond to that? Do I go back to that first person and say, well, actually, this is what I have found out? Or do I just trust the Lord to work it out?
Do you have an example of that in your own life?
Well, where somebody has told me one thing and I have heard something else, like that kind of...
Sure.
Well, you know, coming in as a pastor into whatever sort of situation, always somebody is the first to say, oh,
that Carrie Webb, she...
Yes. And don't expect too much from her, or she does this, or just be really careful about trusting them, or they say one thing, but they're, you know, they're really not going to show up, or they're not going to do that. They're not really as committed, so they're all talk. So as a result, then I sort of hold myself back from getting to know that person.
Because you don't want to be let down.
Because I don't want to be let down. And their words have actually tainted what I think about that individual. And then, as soon as I start rubbing shoulders with them, I'm like, wait a second. That isn't anything like who they really are. So was that maybe God has done a work in their lives, or they're a new person? Maybe that was a really bad day. Maybe they were tired and sick. But I've had to actually say, Jesus, I need a new mind regarding this person. I choose to forgive that other person for saying those things, because I feel like I miss out then on those other people.
Yeah.
Because of what somebody has said.
Yeah. And when I think about like the times where I have said something that I knew that I shouldn't have, or if I've offended someone or shared something, whatever, that I knew was wrong, I so genuinely want that other person to forgive me and let me start fresh. And so I just think, like, God, please help me to extend that same grace to the to the person who has done that, and not then label them as just the gossiper.
Yes.
Right? Because then I'd be doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also talked about the triangle effect this week.
Okay.
So if I tell you something about someone who's hurt me.
Yes.
Then you, because we're friends, can be upset at that person for hurting me. And then now we, this person, this imaginary person over here who you can't see, we can totally make it up. Mm. But because I've told you about what's happened, because you weren't part of the reconciliation process, you still have this feeling of hurt towards this person, or anger because of their hurt towards me. And that all transpired because of what I chose to tell you. Now, that isn't to say you don't have close friends and you don't share.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it says, you know, put a guard over my mouth.
Yeah.
I think we need to be careful with what we share and who we're sharing it with. Like, is that why the psalmist continually is like, I call out to you, Lord? Like, are we really supposed to be pouring out our hurts and failures and upsets and, you know, whatever, anger to the Lord and allow him to sort it out, rather than, oh, I just have to call my mom?
Yeah.
like, I've heard that from, you know, if I just call my mom, I'll just talk it out with my mom, or I have to call my friend, or if I just send this message off to someone. And because the thing is, those words have to come out in some, like, because there's hurt or whatever on the inside, they have to come out. But who are they coming out to? The thing is, if they come out to God, then he can actually sort them out, the hurt and the upset. But if they come out to you, yes, we're great friends. But now I've just given you all of these words, mm-hmm. and you have to now sort them out. So what, you know, I often think, well, what is the balance between, you know, friendship and, you know, because intimacy means I'm going to be honest enough,
right,
so you can see into my life. So what is the balance between intimacy and friendship and relationship, and yet making sure that the words that we are speaking are life-bringing rather than pulling us down?
I hear what you're saying, because we don't want to just gloss over things as if it's not important or as if it didn't happen, because
yes,
then there's no room for, like, community. But the Holy Spirit is our counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Isaiah where it says Jesus will be called Wonderful Counselor.
Yes.
You know, I was just thinking before you shared that, I was like, yeah, you know what? It's important that people go and talk to counselors. And I think it is. And mm-hmm. I've seen one, and it's been really helpful, because it's good to be able to share with a neutral party.
Yeah.
And a counselor who knows Christ, and then you can bring those before the Lord and give them to him and be done. Like, remember I was saying a previous episode, I used to give my sin and my worry to my mother, and she would take that for me. But I knew it wasn't really gone. But that's, I think, where we can actually come, and we come to Jesus, who is our wonderful counselor, and he can fix it up.
Yeah.
Give us a new thought about that person.
Yes, because, and we talked a little bit about this before, that whole idea of, you know, sharing prayer requests. Oh, I just heard this about this family, and I think we should pray about them. And it's like,
but I really want to tell you how messed up they are.
Yes. and that kind of makes us feel a little bit better, because we're not as bad as.
Yeah.
And especially if I say it to you, and you can respond positively because you want to be accepted, or you want to, you know, please or affirm whatever I'm saying, when really it's just gossip and self-serving.
Yeah.
Like, our words really aren't beneficial. Like, in the sense of, am I really helping that family who is in need,
mm-hmm.
or am I really making myself look better because I'm telling you all the negative stuff that's happening?
Yeah.
Like, and we were talking about the passage in Matthew where we actually will have to give an account of our words.
Can you read that?
Yes, I can. I just have to find it. So
So in the meantime, the verse that I thought about when Jen suggested having this discussion about what we actually share, and as an aside, I feel like as women, we're more predisposed to having difficulty with this.
Yes.
Guarding our mouth and not gossiping. And I work with mostly women, and it's just such a hard thing. The break room is like a hotbed for gossip. And sometimes it's really hard to set a guard over my mouth or choose, like, ask God to filter what people are telling me, you know? Or sometimes it's best just to walk away, and that is harder than I would like it to be.
Yeah.
But, and I thought, okay, if our primary goal here as Christians is to be ambassadors for Christ,
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to be here to share the good news.
Yeah.
We've received this grace from God, and we just, now our lives are to be lived for him and to share with other people. Ephesians 5:16. Sorry, Jen, just while you're looking for that other.
Nope, verse. It's all good. Sometimes the words on the page just fall
they're
away.
Not,
like, what happened? They were there a minute ago.
Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then there's another verse that says, we need to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And mm-hmm. every conversation that we have is an opportunity. Yes. To be able to redeem the time, make the most of that chance to share the love of Christ, and also be built up ourselves by allowing God to tell us what the right thing is to say. And yes. I think when we hide the scripture in our heart, that's when the Holy Spirit has the chance to bring that scripture to mind, and then we can share it.
Yes. So the passage is from Matthew 12, 33 to 37. It says, "If you want good fruit, you must make the tree good. If your tree is not good, it will have bad fruit. A tree is known by the kind of fruit it produces. You snakes, you are evil people, so how can you say anything good? The mouth speaks the things that are in the heart, or out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Good people have good things in their hearts, and so they say good things. But evil people have evil things in their hearts, so they say evil things. And I tell you that on the judgment day, people will be responsible for every careless thing they have said. The words you have said will be used to judge you." Like, it just gets messy. "Some of your words will prove you right, but some of your words will prove you guilty." And it's not that we go into that with condemnation. We are saved by the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. But God's going to use our very own words to judge us.
So then, okay, if there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? The old has gone, the new has come. We're new every day in Christ.
Yes.
So where is judgment for the people of God? How does that work? If we've already been made clean, we didn't talk about this beforehand, then how does he judge us?
Well, and I think there's two judgments, right? So there's the first, the sheep and the goats. Do you know me? Do you not know me? And then it says the righteous will be judged. Like, we will be judged according to what we did here on earth. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure there are theologians out there that have written books on exactly what that looks like. And so I also know that we will be laying crowns at the feet of Jesus based on the things that we've done on this earth. So, you know, I think it's Paul who says, you know, because of grace, should I sin the greater so that I can receive more? Well, no, because that's not being a child of God. And so I think part of it is, I have given you all of this grace. Now, what are you doing with it?
Right.
Are you continuing to sin? Or are you actually using every opportunity to speak truth and life into people's lives so they can come to know me?
I guess it's like the parable of the talents. You know, he gave two talents to one guy, five to another, one to another. And then the owner went away. And then the servants had to use those talents to earn more.
Yes.
And when he got back from traveling, if they had earned more with what they were given, then they would received a reward. And if they hadn't, then they didn't get the reward, and there was punishment for it.
Right.
So we've been given a lot of grace, and I guess that means, like, we have to use it.
Yes, and like, that is right down to the words that we say.
Right.
The fact that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that is Proverbs 18:21. And I remember a friend of mine, she'd been dating this guy for a while, and, you know, slim girl, but he said, "You know what, your calves are large." I know. Guys.
Don't say large calves, and don't say cankles. It's a bad idea.
Bad idea.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's bad.
And, you know, she smiled and laughed it off, but it went right into who she was. And she was like a slim girl, but now she says she's like...
Like hyper aware?
Yeah. And she'll look in the mirror, are my legs really that big?
Oh.
And it's like a little part of her died on the inside. So even though that man is a believer... Like, his words caused death inside of her because she's aware now of her calves, which really are perfectly fine
calves.
She's
got nice calves. Well, same thing. So, you know, growing up, I was teased called Harry Carey. And so I was, like, super conscious of that. Like, Like, do I have a mustache? And you're all looking, and if I have one, that's fine. And, you know, really was like, I better shave my legs, and maybe I should wax my arms. But yeah. it hits you. So then what do you do with that? So someone has shared an improper word. And how does knowing who you are in Christ dispel those lies?
Yes and yes. I think, and we talked about this, you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. When your word goes out, it doesn't just go like one little word and hop, hop, hop over to Carrie. It's like it bursts forth life and it just goes everywhere. And so even though I might have intended one thing, depending on how you're feeling, depending on who's listening, all of a sudden it morphs into a monster. Mm-hmm. And what I intended to say actually didn't say, actually isn't what came across to you or whoever I'm speaking to. So I think one is forgiveness of that person who said it.
Okay.
I choose That's as an important. Act of my will to forgive that person for saying those mean words. This is how it made me feel.
Yeah.
And being awesome enough to say it hurt, it felt like stingers going in. I feel like my spirit has been poisoned. Mm. And ask God then to come and cleanse the power of those words. Because you're right, it does form us. Because all of a sudden we're doing actions to compensate for those words.
Like shaving or calf exercises.
Yes.
It's not
and
good.
And we become hyper aware and maybe miss out on something else that God is calling us to do because we are now super aware of, oh, well, they said those words.
Yeah.
I wonder if
there's... If there's some truth in it.
Yeah. So, and that's where, like you said, who we are in Christ, we then have to ask God, clean the bowl out, Lord. I choose to forgive them. Now, would you put your truth in where that poisonous word, right? It's like you get a cut and now you put the healing ointment on it. Lord, what is your healing ointment for those words, right? So did you have a verse that you wanted to share?
Well, Proverbs 12:18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't, and the wisdom of the world is foolishness, but God's wisdom is what is right.
Yes.
And we get that from his word.
Yes.
And so we need to speak words of life and truth to someone. And it's amazing. So I'll just share something. So sometimes, I work in the emergency department. And sometimes when there's like a really critical incident going on, to cope with it, people use like bad humor. And sometimes it's just inappropriate. And so I was sharing this with someone who said, Carrie, like when that happens, turn and start speaking truthful and kind words to the person who's unconscious and watch the room change. So I tried it and it worked. Like, it's like a word of life can change the environment.
Yes.
So they were critically ill. People were, you know, still doing what we need to do to save the person. But a lot of chatter going on. And just stopped and spoke to the unconscious person. You're going to be okay. And just brought the focus back in. And it was like a word of life changed the environment.
Yes.
And that was just a kind word. But imagine like speaking the truth of Christ to somebody. Yes. His word is living and active and can change an environment. And I've seen people do that in my own life. excuse me. I have a friend, Hannah, who's in her 90s and she's like a mentor to me. And I might be sharing a story with her. And she'll... Okay, for example, I had a friend who was staying with me for a while. And I just really wanted her to be motivated and to be successful. And, you know, I wanted her to, like, get in the game with her academics and understand who God is. And I was frustrated with her saying this and this and this and this. And so I'm sharing this with Hannah. And she said, Carrie, like... God in his own timing makes a person beautiful. And she's like, it's like they are a rosebud. And if you go in and you start ripping open that rosebud with even words that are meant to be helpful, like, why aren't you this? Or maybe you can help with this. then it doesn't allow God to fully do the work and open them to be a beautiful flower. And I was like, oh. So her words of life and truth about God stopped me dead in my tracks and allowed me to have a totally different perspective.
Yes.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And that is how cool the grace of God is, that his mercies are new every day.
Every day. Yeah.
And if, you know, the image that came into my mind as you were sharing that story is you have a choice with your words. It's like if somebody is sharing something like negative or frustrating with you, you have a choice to jump in there with you and share the frustration. But it's even how you share in it. Do you share it's like, wow, that must be really frustrating, like, or it's like, yeah, that like totally sucks, like, how, why are they being so
silly?
Yes, because we don't say the ST word, because it brings people down.
Sometimes.
But it's like, how do I jump in with you? Do I jump in to say, oh, it must be so frustrating, but God? Or do we say, oh, that's awful, like, what's wrong with them, right? So I have a choice with my words. Am I going, because the thing is, I have to partner with you. You're my friend. But how do I partner with you? Like, do I partner with you in the sense of, that's bad. What does God have to say about this, right? Because all of a sudden we invite the Holy Spirit in. Like, that, you must be feeling really frustrated. And we bring Jesus in. Or do we, like, yeah, and we start going the other way.
Yeah, because the Bible says that in the end times, in the latter days, people are going to seek out what their itching ears want to hear.
Yes.
So am I going to be that person? Am I going to go to the friend who I know is going to say, yeah, you know what? They are just a blinkety blink, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Because it affirms how I feel in my sinful nature. Or I know I'm going to go to you, Jen, and you're going to say, Carrie, yeah, that was hurtful what they said, but you also responded this way.
Yeah.
And I was sharing something with Jen one time, and I said, well, maybe it's in part me. And she said, well, maybe it's all of you. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to talk to you for a little bit, and then I'll come back and we'll talk. But then she helped me pray about it, and
yeah,
and it's better. So am I going to the person who's going to, you know, tickle my ears?
Yeah.
Or am I seeking out the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another verse, Jen. You know how you said when that guy said that thing about the woman's calves, it went down into her. Proverbs 26 says, from 18 to 25, it's just really good. It's about gossip and what happens with our words. So I'll just start with 22 because it has to do with what you said.
Okay.
The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. I think another version says like tender truffles or something like that. They go down to a man's inmost parts. And then, so back up to 18, it says like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows. Unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Is a man who deceives his neighbor with words.
Yeah.
Right. And says, I was only joking. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down.
Mm-hmm.
As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. So there's just so much. 24 says, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit.
Yes.
It's all through Proverbs. And Proverbs is about foolishness and wisdom.
Yes.
And if you are wise, you guard your tongue.
Yes, because you can't take back the words that came before just joking. Just joking.
Just joking. You're not Harry. Yes, I am. It's okay, I'm over it now.
So we don't know where you're at, and this is something we have just been talking a lot actually about this past week. And so as we close, we're going to pray. And well, ask the Lord maybe to bring up those things that you've been struggling with, or maybe people have spoken words against you and you need to offer forgiveness and ask God to come in with his own healing touch and what the truth is about those words and who you are in him. And so we're just going to close in prayer. And then
I'll go wax my upper lip. Just kidding.
Oh.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today and for this time. And thank you that our identity is found in Christ now. Because you've done the work on the cross, you have forgiven our sins, and now we're alive, fresh in you. And this is a new day. We can hear the birds singing even now outside of our window. This is a new morning.
Amen.
Your mercies are new today. I thank you, Lord, that you speak truth.
Amen.
Jesus, you said you're the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray, God, that you would help us to read the truth in your word, and that it would go down to our inmost part, and that out of the overflow of your word in our heart, we would be able to speak those words of truth to people. Father, I pray for the people watching who maybe have had hurtful things said to them.
Mm-hmm.
You'd help them to forgive the people who have hurt them, and that you would replace those lies with your truth about who they are.
Amen.
That they are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Would you help set a guard over our mouths that we might not sin against you this week, Lord? Thank you for Jen, that she's been a good friend to me, and that she hasn't just said what I want to hear, God, but she's been lifting me up. And so I pray, God, for people who are watching too, that you would send good friends to their lives, in their church family, or even maybe it's someone even online who can send encouraging words to them. I pray that you would you'd do that, Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I agree with what Carrie has said. And thank you for her friendship and when she has spoken truth into my life and it has challenged me. So, Father, may whoever is listening today hear your voice and receive your words. We thank you that you are good. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we want to say thank you to Robbie for editing. And we want to say thank you to Eco Alkalines for powering us up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Robbie's been an excellent director and producer, and we're very thankful for him. Robbie Ferguson from Category 5. And we thank Category 5 TV for hosting this show.
And our website, which is neweveryday.tv.
Yes, it is. And you can contact us through the website. You can send us an email, or you can visit us on Facebook. New Every Day.
New Every Day. There's pollen in my cup.
Cheers. Yeah. It's good pollen. It's like honey, really, before it becomes honey.
No, it's not.